Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, October 17, 2020. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry is grateful for financial support. We, the Board of Directors of Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, want to express our wholehearted gratitude for the people of Midland and the surrounding area. The responsive monetary donations we received during the last couple of weeks for our building's foundation repairs has met the need. We raised a grand total of $68,000. Thank you for letting the Lord use you to meet the need of our ministry. It is loving people like you who help make the day a little better for your local nonprofit, which helps those in need. Once again, thank you, Midland. Our prayers are with you all as we exalt the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, together. Jason and Nancy Ivy, Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, October 18th, 2020. Start with trust. Internet safety tips during National Cybersecurity Awareness Month by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. www.bbb.org or call 563-1880. The internet has become a significant part of our everyday lives, allowing us to work, socialize, and shop online. Unfortunately, cyber criminals also benefit from that same convenience and accessibility. That's why the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, and the National Cybersecurity Alliance, NCSA, team up each October for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. This year's theme is Do Your Part, hashtag Be Cybersmart, which emphasizes the importance of individuals taking steps to protect themselves online. Through its online reporting tool, the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, connects the public with the FBI. According to IC3's 2019 annual report, almost 500,000 complaints and $3.5 billion in losses were reported last year, with adults over 60 being the demographic most impacted by internet crime. Texas ranks third in the United States for number of victims and fourth for total dollar losses. Step up your online safety practices with these tips from your Better Business Bureau. Increase your online privacy. Protect your online accounts by implementing multi-factor authentication and using strong passwords, which consist of letters, numbers, and special characters. Individuals should also refrain from accessing banking information or making online purchases when connected to an unsecured public network. Stay secure while you work. As more employees work virtually during the COVID-19 crisis, they should be more vigilant about internet scams and online fraud. Business and personal information should be treated with the same care. Avoid sharing it with unfamiliar parties or over unsecured networks. It is important to keep the security software on your business devices up to date, because only one employee needs to be compromised for an entire organization to experience a data breach. Use social media responsibly. Social media is a great way to connect with friends and family, but it can also allow scammers and cyber criminals to target you. Only accept friend requests from people you trust. Avoid clicking links in messages from strangers and refrain from posting your personal information online. Remember to be careful about what you share. Remember, there is no delete button online. For more online safety tips, visit us at bbb.org or go to cisa.gov to learn more about National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Have you encountered cybercrime? Report it to bbb.org/scam tracker and ic3.gov/complaint.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading this Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, October 18th, 2020. Letters to the editor. Trump did not influence price of oil. Regarding David Rosen's letter to the editor on October 11th about Trump affecting oil prices, he would do well to study the history of the American petroleum industry. The discovery of oil in 1859 is what started the American petroleum industry. Kerosene, which is refined from oil and used in lamps, is what eventually lit the world. The price of oil in western Pennsylvania went from $10 a barrel to 10 cents a barrel 10 years later. Thus, the first boom-bust cycle. Later on, discoveries in Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana kept prices down. Then came the mass-produced auto and more oil production. By the 1950s, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon and oil $3 a barrel. The Saudis jacked the price in 1972 to 90 cents a gallon, which set off more drilling. Then came the 80s, and crude oil went from $45 a barrel to $10 within 2 months. There again, boom-bust brought on by oversupply. Then came fracturing, and the U.S. was outproducing the Saudis. Guess what? We had boom-bust. The thought that President Trump influenced the price of oil is laughable. It is always supply-demand. Oversupply, price goes down, and people get laid off, and some companies go under. Only a Democrat would think that Trump caused the oil price drop. During COVID-19, Trump did everything right. He shut down flights from China, then Europe in January 2020, while Dr. Anthony Fauci, CDC, and Democrats said this virus was no problem. Biden called Trump xenophobic. Trump was waiting for direction from CDC and epidemiologists. He received none until people started dying. Then the CDC, Dr. Fauci et al., started waking up to the fact that this virus might be serious. Tom Owens. MISD trustees didn't care to listen. The MISD Board of Trustees on Wednesday voted 5-2 to change the name of one of the great high schools in Midland. They did ask us, but they did not listen. They had made up their minds long before Wednesday night. Some board members had their minds made up 30 years ago. I am from the class of 65, which means that I was the first one to step foot into the new, brand new school in September 1961. My thoughts were not ever for one moment glad that it was an all-white school or that Robert E. Lee fought for slavery in the Civil War. It could have been named Midland High School North. We were 14 to 17-year-old kids in a brand new high school. Legacy High School. What a stupid name. What legacy is this high school starting with? A community split apart because a handful of people that want to destroy history and tear down statues because it offends them are guiding the other 94% of our society because their feelings are hurt. Okay, it's done. But mark my word, if the MISD board asks for a bond election for $1 to $750,000, my answer will be absolutely no, not never. Ron Bearden. School's name pays tribute to nation's history. As a graduate of Robert E. Lee High School in 1988, I was saddened to learn that MISD has chosen to rename the schools. I no longer reside in Midland, so I learned of this 2 weeks ago. It's unfortunate that people can't seem to grasp the idea that Robert E. Lee High School, a Yale University, and a Harvard University represent and pay tribute to part of this nation's history. Notice I said pay tribute to. And if you look up the definition of tribute, it's an act, statement, or gift that is intended to show gratitude, respect, or admiration. The school's name, being part of our history, pays respect to history, not some allegiance to the Confederacy. Yale and Harvard universities' names pay respect to a part of this nation's history. There are now calls to rename Yale because Elihu Yale was a slave trader. Harvard is receiving pressure to rename dormitories that have been there since 1636 because some of the individuals the dorms are named after owned slaves. Renaming all of these institutions, including my alma mater, will do nothing to improve or lessen the political and social polarization that we see in this country today, and in all likelihood will further the dissension. I watched a news commentary about the potential renaming of Robert E. Lee High School in Baytown, where a resident said, "The children should not have to be reminded daily of the legacy of the Confederacy and slavery." Are you kidding me? I attended Robert E. Lee High School for 4 years, and not one day in that time did I or my peers ponder, have an allegiance to, or against the Confederacy. We knew the name of the school was just a part of history, just like Yale, Harvard, and so many other fine institutions in this country. Are we going to rewrite history, the good and the bad? If we don't remember history and have a respect for it, we are doomed to repeat it. Mark C. Woolsey. MISD missed an opportunity with school's new name. My family has been in Midland County for generations. While currently a Texpat, I've followed the proposed name change of Lee High School with interest. As a part of the class of 94, I received a fine education there from dedicated teachers. During my time as a student, the school began reckoning with its problematic appropriation of the Confederate flag and glorification of Dixie. I was heartened to hear of the strong school board vote in favor of a name change. The school was built in 1961. Why continue to bear the name of a Virginian with scant connection to Texas, save to prop up a partial view of the past? What a missed opportunity. Of the three final names proposed, only one followed the spirit of the vote. Embedding the name Lee within the new name is an affront to the intent of the proposed change. The school could bear the name of so many remarkable Texans. How about Barbara Jordan, Selena Quintanilla, Ann Richards, Laura Bush, Midge Erskine, Alvin Ailey, Willie Nelson, Cheryl Swoops, Tom Ford, Jose Gregorio Esparza, Leonardo Fleco Jimenez, Terrence McNally, Lady Bird Johnson, Jose Antonio Navarro. Stand up Texans all. Instead of renaming the school with an eye to inspire and reflect its multi-ethnic and multilingual students, the board opted to choose Legacy High School. I'm a Hog High School would have been better. The board wisely voted down the proposed Legacy of Educational Excellence, given the clear legacy that name intended to reinforce. However, by retaining the rebel mascot, they have not fully disengaged themselves from the Confederate legacy. It is disingenuous to suggest that dressing the rebel up in revolutionary gear will make the mascot palatable. It will be just historically inaccurate. Those seeking independence for the colonies were referred to as patriots and revolutionaries, not rebels. The board voted to play it safe and in so doing fully served no one. Students and employees of MISD merit better than this. The Reverend Jamie P. Washam. Editor's note, the following letters were submitted before the Midland ISD board met on Wednesday. MISD board has its own agenda. I'm tired of people not doing the jobs they were elected to do. I'm tired of them ignoring the rights of the majority, for we are a democratic society. I'm tired of people pushing their agendas on me. You see, nothing was wrong with our school name. It wasn't discussed, and no one cared until one person decided he was oppressed, and some other people jumped on the bandwagon. We are happy to change the name to Midland Lee, as it has been known as for over 40 years. But you have your own agenda. Why appoint a committee when you already made up your mind? Why not spend millions of dollars? After all, it's not your money. You will move on after we vote you out, and your damage will be done. You will leave behind thousands of alumni with diplomas of a school that doesn't exist anymore. You will kill the Lee brand and wipe the championships off the board. Kids who have wanted to attend Lee, like their brothers, sisters, and parents, will have their hopes crushed. I'm tired of seeing neighbor fighting against neighbor. I'm also very tired of you changing the rules as you go. Are you tired of the talking behind your back when you're trying to eat dinner at a restaurant? The glares, the whispers, the tension? Are you tired of the emails and the constant reminder that you are neither representing the majority nor acting in the best fiduciary interest of Midland? You see, once you do this, once you rename the school to something the majority doesn't want, you can't go back. Your legacy is miserable and everlasting and will follow your career wherever you go. Are you as tired as I am? Please end this division and name the school Midland Lee with the Rebels as the mascot and the colors as gray, maroon, and white. It's the least expensive option, and it's what the majority wants. Robin Hodges Schwartz. Midland Lee is more than Billings' name. There are those who hate Robert E. Lee and what it means to them. They are right. That name has got to go. The problem is, haters are never appeased, no matter how much you do. There are those who love Midland Lee High School and cherish what it means to them. Their school's name is not something to abandon. A letter by T.J. Glover points out that Lee's 60-year legacy of excellence is a tribute to its students, not to its namesake. Midland Lee is more than just the name of the buildings. Lee was named after Robert E. Lee. I was named after my grandfather. Neither were appropriate, but neither define us in what we have become. My name is now, for now, stands for who I am and not who he was. Likewise, Midland Lee High School has earned the right to its name apart from Robert E. No one seriously links the school to the general except that they share that name. No matter what the school board decides, I predict that most of the town will continue referring to the school as Lee. It would make more sense to make the de facto name the official name, and cheaper, too. Ironically, the surest way to preserve Robert E. in connection with the school is to choose any name other than Lee. Otherwise, the phrase, formerly Robert E. Lee High School, must be appended whenever referring to the school. Simple changes are best. CAF became rebranded as CAF, and most everyone is happy with it. Midway, Texas became Midland because the original name had to change. Rick Davis wrote, "In any event, it is time to put this name change decision behind us once and for all." I agree. But abandoning Lee altogether will hurt so many much more than it will inevitably just perpetuate it. On the subject of names, there are others in town with the same name as mine. Please don't harass them if you agree with me, which is the perfect allegory for the Lee versus Lee name association. John Hamm. Election letters. Rainey will bring fresh ideas to the board. Having retired from Midland College after 34 years of teaching there, I have an understanding of the relationship between the Board of Trustees and the college as a whole. The board has a vested interest in the college, now and in the future, and must make informed decisions on appropriate matters. Sean Rainey will be a productive board member. Both he and his wife have taught at Midland College, so he knows the roles of administration, faculty, staff, and students. He has a solid academic background and understands the role of the community college in the broader aspect of higher education. He will bring fresh ideas and enthusiasm to the Midland College Board of Trustees. I support Sean Rainey for Midland College Board of Trustees. Robert Peets. Rainey qualified to lead MC into the future. I enthusiastically endorse Sean Rainey for Midland College Board of Trustees, Place 7. I am so pleased Sean has decided to run for this position. Let me explain why. Sean is uniquely qualified to serve on the Board of Trustees, given his broad and varied experience in and around Midland College. Having seen the college from many perspectives, including as a teacher, Sean is now ready and well qualified to lead MC into the future. Sean and I practice law together, so I've seen his keen analytical mind, his firm but kind demeanor, his quick wit, and his selfless devotion to improving Midland. Having attended a community college for 2 years myself, I have firsthand knowledge of the important difference a college like MC can make in the lives of individuals, in the workforce, and in the community. I hope you will join me in voting for Sean Rainey for the Board of Trustees. We need his thoughtful leadership. Christy Hyatt Brumfield. Rainey understands role of community college. Sean Rainey will provide leadership and a community spirit to the Midland College Board. Sean has seen firsthand how education can make a difference in an individual's life as well as in the life of a city. We need a community college that understands how improving the prospects of residents of Midland also improves the prospects of the city itself. I have known Sean since he moved to Midland after graduating from law school almost 10 years ago. While pursuing his education, Sean never lost touch with his roots or his core values of hard work and common sense. I have come to both trust and respect Sean and know that he is here in Midland to stay. I agree with Sean that the future of both Midland and Midland College are tied together and that the role of a community college is to serve both the student and the community. If you believe that Midland College should produce that sort of graduate that Midland needs, I urge you to vote for Sean. W. Clark Lee. Booker is concerned with betterment of children. Michael Booker is a man of integrity and possesses a heart as big as Texas. He is an active part of our church body, caring for congregants in a licensed and armed security guard team we call Sheepdogs. His heart is also given to mentoring kids as a football coach in our local sports club. Michael is also a veteran. This act of bravery speaks volumes for every person who voluntarily puts their life on the line for the safety and well-being of others. It comes as no surprise that Michael would choose to sacrifice his time in political office. I have been a minister for over 45 years. I know how to recognize genuine people. Michael Booker is a candidate who possesses a quiet posture, but his attributes of loving others speaks with a thunderous voice. Michael's only interest is the betterment of every child in MISD. They matter to him. The Bible teaches that where a person's treasure is, there his heart will also be. Michael Booker's treasure is the children of Midland. Red, yellow, black, or white, they are all precious to Michael's heart. Please consider him for the school board representative. Pastor Roy Smith. Booker will ensure kids get possible education. In November, we have an opportunity to decide who becomes school board district trustee for District 1. Texicon Management, Inc. is endorsing Michael Booker in order to help build public support, improve our public education system, and lead our superintendent. He will consider the value of quality education and the safety of our children. Through this economic recession, he will pay attention to adequate staffing levels, sound facilities, and budgetary challenges. He will develop positive teamwork, driven and fruitful relationships with fellow board members, the superintendent, and the public. He will guide us into a new era of racial justice and educational equality for all children. As a veteran, Mr. Booker has proved his passion to service. His interaction and support of area youth programs and his example to his own children make him the best candidate for District 1. We give Michael our full support to Michael Booker. We know he will serve with positive focus, adhere to a high code of ethics, and execute the decisions of the board with respect and fairness. He will do his best to listen to issues while executing a high level of teamwork to ensure our children receive the best education possible. Luis Esquivel. Davis is passionate about involvement with MISD. It is with great pleasure that I write this recommendation for Rachel Davis for MISD School Board Trustee, District 2. I have been friends with Rachel and her family for almost 5 years now, and in that time that I have known her, she has been nothing but a pillar to our community. Rachel demonstrates the character and qualities that you would look for in a leader for your community. She puts all her energy into everything she does. Through all her work with the local school district to help better our schools, to her charity work through the Midland Shriners Club, and most importantly to her family. She strives for the best for her children's school by being on the PTA and is highly active in every school function. She's passionate about her work in the school district by putting on school fundraisers and has even created an after-school basketball program for the children at her kids' school. I know she carries these characteristics in everything she does. She has my vote for confidence to be a local leader and has the passion to help her community strive. Brian Griffin. Davis is reliable and responsible. I confirm that I know Rachel Davis. She has been my friend for almost 15 years and was a work colleague for 3. Rachel is responsible, reliable, and caring, and would be an excellent candidate for this position. She is involved in the PTA, and she is also very passionate in volunteer work at Shriners Hospital. Rachel is also a strong leader. She works very hard to achieve any goal that is set before her. I recommend my friend Rachel for this role. If you need more information, please feel free to call. Davis will push for good, positive change. I've known Rachel Davis personally for the better part of 20 years. She is loyal, hardworking, and honest to a fault. I saw a young girl grow into a woman in that time, get married, and start a family. Once her children became school age, it became apparent that Rachel developed a passion for making education the very best it can be. No one has worked harder or volunteered more time, blood, sweat, and tears than she. I was so happy to hear she will run for school board. Rest assured, if you elect Rachel Davis, your schools will have a tireless advocate who will push for and achieve good, positive change. I cannot give Ms. Davis a higher recommendation. Vargas will stand up for Midland's children. I met Steve Vargas a few years ago when I had his son in my class. During this time, I've watched this dad with his children. The love and care between them are apparent in the glow that surrounds them. Steve Vargas is an active member of our community. He puts students first and shows care and respect. My son was a 2020 graduate during the COVID-19 pandemic. A group was set up on Facebook called Adopt a High School Senior, Permian Basin Area. Mr. Vargas and his family adopted my son through this program. The care they showed for my son made him feel better during a difficult end to his last year in high school. He is also helping with the jacket drop-off for local children. Steve Vargas will be a huge addition to the Midland Independent School District Board in the upcoming election in November. We need more citizens like Mr. Vargas standing up for our children. Wendy Tucker. Board needs joiners' desire for excellency. The community of Midland is fortunate to have the energy of Katie Wallace Joyner, and I've been blessed by her friendship for over 20 years. In this time, I've watched her become the passionate and caring citizen that she is today. From mentoring young children as a young life leader to serving on the Memorial Hospital Forum, it is evident that she cares deeply for our community and wants the best for Midland. Katie is an involved parent, a problem solver, and has the leadership qualities that we need on the school board. My favorite attribute about Katie is that she is convicted in her beliefs. She knows deep down what she stands for and remains committed until the end. I believe her desire for excellency, coupled with honesty and integrity, is exactly what our school board needs. Katie Wallace Joyner is brilliant and the right person to represent District 4 on the MISD school board. Vargas can be voice MISD is missing. I am supporting Steve Vargas in his candidacy because I believe he is the best and easiest choice for change. I have worked with him as a peer and a supervisor in the Department of Public Safety, where he exemplifies the utmost maturity and character of anyone I have encountered. His patient, willing to serve, and level-headed approach has excelled his career, not only with the DPS, but the military as well. He has a way with people, which is why he can be the voice MISD is missing. Steve has 4 children, 3 who attend Fannin Elementary. 2 of his boys have special needs, requiring extra attention. He has tried numerous times to be the voice for children without being heard. Now is the time for change. We need people like Steve to step up and listen to concerns of parents, staff, and community. I know that his roles in the DPS, military, and experience with special needs make him a vital asset to the board. Not only does he know how to handle adversity, his patience dealing with the public community shows his commitment to serving others. Let him serve the community once more by electing him as school board trustee. Sergeant Chris White. Vargas is dedicated to making serious changes. Steve Vargas will make an outstanding advocate for District 4. Steve has revealed he is concerned and dedicated to making some serious changes. He is genuine, level-headed, and deeply committed to the children, parents, schools, and faculty of MISD. He has a long history of fighting for our country, putting his life on the line each day to make our community a better place, to now focusing his community on our students, the future of Midland. Steve has been working hard to gather input from parents, teachers, and an array of other community members about what they think is working and what is challenging in our schools. My wife Casey and I feel his concern for what is best for students is genuine and the need for change is sincerely welcomed. As a parent of 3 who attended MISD, I think he will be especially sensitive to the concerns of parents. In Steve's long line of experience by working the front lines of our community, he has persevered in the ability to work with the wide variety of people. We need to have people on the school board who are responsive and sincere when dealing with students, parents, and faculty. Travis McCracken.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, October 18th, 2020. Letters to the editor. Ector County Republicans, beware. I am writing this letter to express my anger at an incident that happened at the so-called Republican Party headquarters, headed by Tish Crow, located at 707 Jefferson Street in downtown Odessa last week. I think I would, and my friends would consider me a very Republican Odessan. Last Friday, I walked into the Republican headquarters and asked to buy a few Donald Trump signs. The gentlemen sitting there told me they would be $3 apiece, of which I was glad to pay. But then he told me that they would be free if I also took some of the signs for one of their Republican Party members running for mayor at the same time. Well, I know one thing for sure. Our local city council and mayor races are nonpartisan and always have been. I also know that my friend, Dewey Bryant, is also a staunch Republican like myself and who is also running for mayor. Since when does this group, calling themselves our Ector County Republican Party, get to pick one Republican over another? That is just wrong, and they should be admonished by their own executive committee for doing these things. We as Odessans should work to have great Republican candidates come forth to grow our leaders of the future. Since that incident, I have come to find out that this same group has a list of candidates they are backing over other Republicans. What a shame. Fellow Odessans, please know who you are voting for as mayor. Please vote for a known quality in Dewey Bryant, Steve Thompson, Precinct 2, and City Councilman at Large David Turner. We can't let the Democrats pack the Supreme Court, and we definitely can't allow this group to pack our Odessa City Council going forward. Roy Hunt, Odessa. Response to Ector County Republicans, beware. I am writing this letter in response to the note from Roy Hunt that you printed in Letters to the Editor on October 13th, 2020. I would greatly appreciate it if you, in all fairness, publish my response to Mr. Hunt's opinion. Mr. Hunt, by chance, have you ever taken time to read the Texas Republican Party platform? Just putting an R by your name on a ballot does not make you a Republican. As an elected official, even voting for other Republican candidates does not make you a Republican elected official. You talk about staunch Republicans. Would a staunch Republican vote for $93 million of general obligation certificates? This is new debt created by your staunch Republicans, Dewey Bryant and David Turner. Even your good friend and staunch Republican friend, Steve Thompson, said in an open forum at the Odessa Marriott that he would support creating more general obligation debt that is specifically designed to avoid a vote by taxpaying citizens. I look at these staunch Republicans as rhinos, R-H-I-N-O-S, wolves in sheep's clothing. I cheer our local Republican Party for endorsing candidates that have been vetted by the Ector County Republican precinct chairs. These are the same precinct chairs that we as voting taxpayers voted into service. Unfortunately, your staunch Republican friends did not pass the test. Voting for millions of dollars of new debt without taxpayer approval is anything but conservative. Your good friends were set to vote in another $190 million of general obligation debt for you and I just before the end of the year. If good conservatives had not shown up to city council meetings and demanded a stop to this insanity, Odessa would have received $1,500 a year of new taxes for every man, woman, and child. It is now time for a change. It is time to drain the Odessa swamp of this good old boy network that has run our city and tossed benefit after benefit to specific individuals that they call friends. People, do your homework before you go to the polls. take a good look at what these so-called staunch Republicans that are running in a nonpartisan race have cost you personally. Quit believing what these rhinos are telling you and get involved. Show up to city council meetings. Do a little research for yourself. Thank you, Ector County Republican Party, for looking out for each and every voter and taxpayer in our county. Chris Crow, Odessa. Odessans, beware on city council races. I write this letter to the editor with much dismay, as you can see the age-old tactics of a foreign group of people from outside Odessa coming in to influence our local races, as has been done many times over the past few years. The new squad, just like the AOC squad, are running ads under nefarious names such as the Government Accountability Project, and such just as the Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard folks did in past elections against our current state senator, Kel Seliger, and state representative, Brooks Landgraf. It is also sad to see a group misleadingly calling themselves the Ector County Republican Party, which literally may be 20 voting members offering their endorsement for city council candidates when these races are clearly nonpartisan. And to make matters even worse, they would never endorse or help Landgraf or Seliger in the past. How can they even suggest they represent the average Republican in Odessa? However, please do not confuse that small group with the great organization called the Ector County Republican Women. Odessans, we have a very good known Republican. We have very good known Republican candidates and others that have served our community in the past and are looking forward to keeping Odessa growing ahead. Dewey Bryant, David Turner, Steve Thompson, and my good friend Joanne Davenport are all dedicated to keeping Odessa growing and strong. The squad is against any economic development, any needed infrastructure work for the city, and most importantly, has a very negative agenda in mind if they get control of Odessa ahead. Please send a message that Odessans want to vote for their own people and not be influenced by other cities trying to pick our candidates while hiding behind names of organizations that none of us has ever heard of and were just recently created for secrecy. We are all smarter than that. And go Trump. Kirk Edwards, Odessa. The president shall appoint a nominee. Once again, the Democrats are claiming that Trump is violating the Constitution by appointing a nominee to fill Ginsburg's empty seat on the Supreme Court. And once again, their efforts merely expose their ignorance of the Constitution. The Constitution says that the president shall appoint a nominee, and the Congress shall confirm them or not. The Constitution says absolutely nothing about the president not doing that if it is close to an election, nor does it say anything about being influenced by a dying justice's last wishes. Last wishes have no legal standing. The Democrats are simply terrified about getting another conservative justice because they have been steadily moving towards socialism for years, and they know a conservative court will not allow that to happen. They have proven themselves over and over to be against our constitutional rights, especially our rights to free speech and the right to keep and bear arms. If you want socialism and to be a slave to a ruling tyrant, then vote for Biden. And also realize that he is becoming senile and Kamala Harris will actually be the president. If that happens, then you can kiss our constitutional rights goodbye. Thanks, Sandy Milner, Odessa. Dear Sir Kirk Edwards, Odessa's growth and strength comes with the demand and even gets stronger with a diminishment of the demand for oil, fuel, and energy needs. These cycles are those of God's Mother Nature. Solar power depends on sunny days. Wind power turns the windmills and creates aeolian deposits of sand. Sand is used for fracking. None of these forces or elements are created or controlled by the Odessa City Council. That is the beauty of Odessa. The working class people of Odessa use their strength to harness and market these elements. The current city council has little to do with the works of nature and people. The current council's drive for a beautiful downtown, posited with their icons, for to remembrance of their legacies. The legacy of previous mayor is planted in the median of Grant Street in downtown Odessa, the Perryman icon or legacy being the monumental Perryman pear trees. The legacy of the current council will be towering over Odessans in the form of their creations of debt through the not-so-transparent issuance of obligations of debt without a vote, and its attempt to bury a PFC agreement deep within the inconspicuous and, to their judgment, innocuous bounds of the consent items. Why bring Mr. Landgraf into the city council fray? He is for the people. He is not seeking a legacy remembrance marquee or icon in downtown Odessa. He is out working for all the people of West Texas. What foreign group from outside Odessa? This is maybe a red herring group of your invention. Government Accountability Project is a longtime Odessan who is sick of taxing boondoggles. Odessa is athletic by nature. Why use artificial growth hormones? Why penalize and harness the hardworking class to the dreamy designs of the current council? We need a council that can hunker down with the demands of our current era. I have met you before. I brought you a check that came to my 6101 address. This did not seem to please you that a hard-working class Odessan had the same numeric value as yourself and your caste. Larry G. Robinson, Odessa. Beware of fake news on city council races. It appears that Kirk Edwards has become the CNN or MSNBC of Odessa when it comes to spreading fake news about our local city council races. In his recent letter to the editor, Mr. Edwards goes on a wide-ranging rant about the Ector County Republican Party and other involved parties such as the Government Accountability Project. Mr. Edwards' clear intent is to spread misinformation and mistruths about groups that are working to change the status quo in Odessa, a status quo that has greatly benefited the establishment over many years, but which has come at the expense of the average hardworking, tax-paying Odessan. He calls the Government Accountability Project a foreign group, but in fact this group is led by Jamie Tisdale, a 29-year resident of our city who owns the Wilson's Corner store at Pleasant Farms. A quick review of Jamie's Facebook page would clearly show her as the leader of this group, and I applaud Jamie for her relentless efforts to uncover waste and abuse in our local governments. Mr. Edwards clearly takes umbrage against any group other than his own group of insiders releasing information to the public or supporting any candidates that he deems unworthy. Mr. Kirk then goes on to disparage our local Republican Party officials for their recent endorsements of local candidates, which were carefully chosen and vetted by duly elected Republican precinct chairs for their work in the local party and for their adherence to core Republican values, such as fiscal conservatism and a small and limited government. The duplicity of Mr. Edwards' statements in this regard are surreal. He begins with accusing Republican leaders like Dick Salisbury, who make up the Ector County Republican Party Executive Committee, as being part of an AOC squad, while in the next breath he endorses and encourages Republicans to vote for Joanne Davenport, who is an unabashed, and vocal progressive Democrat running for city council. Mr. Kirk claims that this imaginary squad has a nefarious agenda of being against economic development and infrastructure work, which couldn't be further from the truth exhibited by the candidates that were endorsed by the Republican Party. Much in the same way, the President Trump is continually attacked by the insiders who would seek to rule our country for their own benefit. These candidates are, at their core, Trump Republicans who understand that, as leaders, they must strive to meet the most needs of the most Odessans and not be beholden to narrow special interests like those represented by Mr. Edwards. It makes one wonder what Mr. Edwards will gain by promoting his block of big-spending politicians. My belief is that Odessa voters are smarter than to fall for a pack of lies and mistruths that insiders such as Kirk Edwards are promoting and that they will vote for solid Trump Republicans that will put voters' needs ahead of the agenda of a small group of elites who desire to rule Odessa for their own benefit. My hope is that Mr. Edwards will leave the fake news business to the real pros who constantly attack President Trump. Jeff Russell, Odessa. Something stinks. Something stinks at the Republican headquarters. Not to be confused with the Republican Women's Club, there is an unholy alliance that has been formed within the Ector County Republican Party to take control of the Odessa City Council, a group that is supposed to be nonpartisan. This alliance is made up of Rachel Miner, Mark Mata, Denise Swanner, and mayoral candidate Javier Hovin. It was formed with the approval and support of Tish Crow, the executive committee chairwoman, and other political wannabes. The board has conspired to elect their candidates as a voting bloc by giving them the executive committee's endorsement. These might be fine candidates, but city council positions are supposed to be nonpartisan. There are several other fine candidates, and the Republican Executive Committee board has no business playing favorites or endorsing one candidate over another in these races. These are not political positions and should only be about looking out for the best interests of the city of Odessa. By forming a voting bloc, they could control the budgets of all city departments, taxes, positions like city manager, zoning, and the future direction of Odessa. In order to break up this squad, it would be my recommendation to ignore the unethical ECRP endorsements and bundled flyers they hung on your doors and vote for nonpartisan leadership for the city of Odessa. Mark Bennett, Odessa.
Effectiveness of extra flu shot. Dear Good Health for Tuesday. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 75-year-old male in good health. I just got this year's flu shot in August. I would like to get another shot later in the season, perhaps in late November. Is there any downside? Dr. Roach writes, flu shots provide protection for most people for about 6 months, so a vaccine in August should cover you until February. Some years, the flu season lasts well into April or even May, at least where I practice in the Northeast. Authorities do not recommend a second flu vaccine, but I have considered it for some of my highest-risk patients. The downside to you is a sore arm and maybe a day of low-grade fever and muscle aches. The downside to society is that in a vaccine shortage, you would be taking away someone else's chance for protection. Since there is no rush, I talked to your doctor, who should have more information about how bad the flu season is and how long it's likely to last, as well as about availability of the vaccine. Readers may write to Dr. Keith Roach at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Careless son-in-law leaves trail of chaos in his wake. Dear Abby, for Tuesday, October 20th. Dear Abby, my son-in-law, Kirk, has issues with closing doors, kitchen cabinets, and refrigerator doors. 3 times my daughter has had to throw out food because it's spoiled. He doesn't close cereal boxes, bags of candy, or chips either. My husband and I tolerated Kirk's behavior until a recent visit to our home. He again left the door to our garage open, where our inside cat could have escaped. He was rough when opening our recliner, and he also didn't turn the cap all the way down on the seltzer bottle. But I know better than to shake the bottle before checking the cap, because I once spilled orange juice everywhere after he had failed to tighten the cap. My daughter says she has known Kirk for 15 years, and he isn't going to change. She says he doesn't focus on the task at hand, but is thinking about something else. I suppose she has given up and continually goes behind him to fasten things. My husband and I feel he doesn't respect our home when he behaves this way. After my daughter spoke to Kirk after his last visit, she has brought our granddaughter over twice, but he stayed home. I feel like both of them think we are making much ado about nothing. Open and Shut case in Virginia. Dear Open and Shut, has your daughter or son-in-law actually said that to you? You were not wrong to speak up, and it's not much ado about nothing. It's consideration for the property of others. You should have drawn the line after the first time your immature and inconsiderate son-in-law left the garage door open. Was he stoned during these visits? Distracted by his cell phone? Address the matter directly with your son-in-law and consider seeing them at their house instead of yours. Dear Abby, my mom insists on giving my oldest child, Jim, less money than the other grandchildren because he's my stepson. Jim is 19, and I am the only mother he has ever known since he was 2.5. I'm still married to his father, and Jim is part of the family. I realized what she was doing only last Christmas when she gave Jimmy $100 and the other 12 grandkids $500 each. This included my 2 younger children. When I asked her why, she couldn't give me a straight answer. I have always regarded Jim as my own and thought she felt the same way. Now I'm no longer sure she's going to leave him an inheritance when she's gone, and I feel crummy about the entire situation. Lost in the South. Dear Lost, I don't blame you for feeling crummy because this is a sad situation. Unfortunately, in some, not all, families, this happens. Bear in mind, the money your mother is gifting is hers to do with as she wishes, and there is nothing you can do to force her to behave more charitably toward Jim. However, you and your husband might consider equalizing it in your own estate plans when the time comes. Have the two of you already talked to an attorney about wills, advance directives, etc.? If you haven't, now may be the time to discuss the subject.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Sagittarius. Happy birthday for Tuesday, October 20, 2020. Influential, enthusiastic, and rational, you are funded after mid-year to pursue a private project that is very successful. You experience joy as you go at it 100%. Finances are very good in the rest of your life, too. If single, learning to compromise is the key to finding a happy relationship. If attached, your relationship is nurturing and fun. Aries thinks you're too hard-headed and stubborn at times. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today shows wider mental horizons developing. You might grow bored with old concepts and long to learn something new. It's also a good cycle for the pursuit of a favorable study and developing deeper insight into your own nature. Tonight, moving forward. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 2 stars. The link between mental attitude and physical health is especially significant for you. Today, as people make financial and other demands on you, you will see how your energy functions. Create healthy boundaries. Tonight, feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. A competitive element affects business partnerships. Focus on working together. Others can seem rather assertive or even demanding. A personal relationship is very promising. Your charisma level will be very high. Tonight, your long-harbored dread of loneliness completely dissipates. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. You'll be highly visible among professional associates. Wise choices build your good reputation today. Reach out to those you love and admire. Networking is favored. There are rewards if you become active in organizations. Tonight, a special animal companion needs extra attention. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 3 stars. The prospect of a more settled and committed situation can have appeal. Your feelings about an existing relationship could change. An old attachment might unravel in order to make way for something new. Tonight, explore the possibilities. Flexibility is essential. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 3 stars. Today highlights your home and family sector. A new domestic arrangement may be considered. Be patient if loved ones require extra advice and support. Graciously accept the fact that some friends may develop new priorities. Tonight, companions may exaggerate. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. It's time to define your priorities. Focus on actions you can take to change your surroundings for the better. A rather forceful individual seems annoying, but may actually have your best interests at heart. Cooperate. Tonight, an obstacle will melt away. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Family influences and the financial values instilled by a parent will affect you throughout your life. Reflect on these to acquire a deeper understanding of how you can make the best financial choices. Tonight, be alert to opportunities that arise. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Romance is promising, and a new project brings hours of pleasure. Honor your inner child. On another level, today's transit favors the conception or adoption of a child for those Sagittarians wishing to expand the family. Tonight, an ambition can be fulfilled. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. There is much that you'll hesitate to share today. Help arrives when least expected and most needed, for angels can come in the form of helpful friends or professional consultants. You feel a new sense of identity. Tonight, focus on releasing all that you've outgrown. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Today makes you aware of how treasured connections enrich your life. One of your new acquaintances may join your inner circle. A new group affiliation can introduce you to some fascinating new characters. Evaluate future goals and future projects. Tonight, catch up on correspondence. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. If you seek help, others will be especially supportive. Invest extra effort in your appearance. A journey can be quite a learning experience. Keep a positive attitude about monetary needs. Tonight, faith is a factor in the quest for the best quality of life. Born today, poet Arthur Rimbaud, 1854, actor Bela Lugosi, 1882, baseball player Mickey Mantle, 1931.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.